Hello and welcome to Dealcast, the voice of Merger Market, the world's leading publication about mergers and acquisitions. I'm Juliana Needham, a journalist who's been covering M&A for a decade. This week, we've got a long-awaited update on equity capital markets from Sam Kerr, who is the global head of ECM and the head of merger market EMEA. And there's loads going on to talk about with the US government shutdown ending, the UK's budget on the horizon, and finally, some IPOs to talk about. Welcome, Sam. It's been far too long.
Thanks for having me back.
So, yesterday we saw the end to the longest government shutdown in history, 43 days. We're recording this on Thursday, the 13th of November. US futures rose in anticipation. The Dow Jones hit an all-time high, but the Nasdaq hasn't been performing quite so well. Could you explain what the end of the government shutdown means for the IPO window? Is that now open? Will we see a flurry of activity?
It's actually a complicated question, that one, because the government shutdown really could not have ended at a worse time for the US IPO market. The US IPO market traditionally has an end date of around Thanksgiving, which obviously is the end of this month of November, in the last Thursday of November, I think it is. And the reason behind that effectively is investors who tend to start thinking about year end around that time. You have far more of them sort of not being in the office from then and around. So you're often going in, if you're trying to sell a deal, you're selling into a smaller pool of investors because fewer people are around. But also, if you think about the way investment returns tend to work, is people look at them on an annualized basis. So by the end of November, you're very much into year-end portfolio protection mode. A bad decision at the end of November, beginning of December, could cost you your entire year of performance. And IPOs are an inherently risky equity investment. So people don't really want to buy them in November, December. So that tends to push a lot of calendar that hasn't got out by the sort of, you know, middle of October, beginning of November onwards to first quarter of the following year. So in this case, it'd be first quarter 2026. But the problem there is if you were ready to go just before the shutdown happened and you stopped it because of that, you're going next year will mean new sets of numbers going into a market that might not be quite as hot. We have no idea what is happening with equity markets in the long term, obviously, and there's a lot of risk in the market as well. And, you know, you just never know what might happen. In today's world, the equity markets have been buffeted by so many geopolitical and macroeconomic things. It's always a risk to wait for the next window. So people are going to be in, you know, a real sort of war room star mode, I think, in these businesses about what to do with their IPOs and whether they are going to risk going at the end of the year into a market that is essentially potentially more less liquid and probably more risk averse. So yeah, it's a very interesting one. I mean, particularly because actually the performance of US IPOs really since the start of September, despite the fact we've had a huge flurry of deals, the long-term performance has been pretty poor in lots of cases. So, and we've seen a lot of volatility. It's certainly been very mixed. So I would say actually, yeah, it's not an easy decision to make.
And will companies and their advisors start thinking, okay, we're probably not going to make it this year, but what about early 2026? Will they be readying themselves to go then?
100%. I mean, if you were ready to go in October and you're going to make the decision not to go at the end of this year, then you want to go as soon as the market opens in 2026. You don't want to open yourself up to risk of something happening, some black swan event, and God knows with tariffs and everything else that we've seen this year, these things can come out of the blue. So I would say the absolute best advice that advisors will be giving issuers at the moment is if you're not going to go now, you must be ready to go first quarter 2026. And that means, you know, the lawyers will be getting everything in place. People will be looking at using new numbers, doing what they can. And if you go, I think in early January, you can still go with your third quarter numbers before everyone starts to announce their full years. So hopefully it won't be too much of a problem for people to shift those numbers through, to shift those IPOs through to the first quarter of next year.
And can you briefly touch on how some of those companies have performed since listing?
So one very interesting dynamic we've seen with the US IPO market has been huge outsized pops as soon as a company is listed, massive day one gains. But what we've also seen has been a real struggle to maintain that momentum since listing. So you've seen companies pop sort of 80% on day one and then lose, you know, most of that value in the weeks afterwards. We've seen companies like Klarna, for example, the largest US IPO of the recent window, open at a really healthy sort of 14-ish% pop on day one and is now below IPO price. So the volatility that we've seen in early IPO trading has been absolutely remarkable. Now, if you're an investor, you're looking at that track record of recent deals. And as we spoke about before, about, you know, your performance protection into the end of the year, and you can't afford to have that happen to you. You can't afford to take an IPO, to take a large position IPO and have it fall really quickly. So I think what that would mean would be if you did try to IPO around this time of the year, you either don't get the demand or you get people monetizing incredibly early to take hold of that early gain that they might see on the first day, which would mean a sharper fall in the IPO price afterwards as you have more selling, which wouldn't be good for any business. So I think that's a big dynamic for people have to consider going into the end of the year.
Okay, so let's turn our attention to the UK where we both are. You mentioned that the US IPOs had a very mixed performance, but we have had quite a few listings in the UK, which has been very, very quiet for a long time. We've had Shawbrook, the Challenger Bank, we've had Prince's, the Beauty Tech Group, and then this dual listing of Fermi America. Could you just give us a bit of a recap on those IPOs and how they're performing since they listed? You know, reading the news today, it's not a great outlook for the UK economy with unemployment up, growth slowing slightly. So how are those IPOs performing, or how are those stocks performing since their recent IPOs?
Since listing, the stocks have, again, it's been a bit of a mixed performance. Shawbrook is slightly up at about 4%, 5%-ish any given day. Prince's and Beauty Tech are fairly down at the moment below IPO price, which isn't ideal. I think we have to also think in the long term. You know, sometimes your first early months of an IPO are just that. And if you then start to perform, you hit your numbers, you then can trade very well afterwards. So we always have to look at these first trading periods with a little bit of caution. I mean, I always think the most important trading period after an IPO, after the, you know, beyond the first few days, is always that first trading period around your first ever results as a public company, because that's when investors will be proved right or wrong on investing in you and whether the projections that you set out at IPO are going to be met or even exceeded. And I think in the case, say, of like Prince's or something like that, if it can start to prove itself and exceed those expectations in its earnings, maybe do some M&A. I mean, it's a very M&A driven model. I think that will eventually mean the stock trades fine. And, you know, if it wants to carry on its sort of consolidation strategies, the UK is a wonderful place to be listed. It's a fantastic exchange for primary market capital raising. So I think, yes, obviously it's a bit of a disappointment to see it trade down, but I think it's a longer term thing for that business. Yeah, in general, I would say the trading of Shawbrook, Prince's and Beauty Tech hasn't had much effect on the talk of the pipeline for next year. If you think about the sort of first quarter of next year and the second half of next year and through, the IPOs that we would expect to see in London are far larger. The biggest one being Visma, which is obviously the HG Capital Nordic software business, HG Capital backed Nordic software business, and IVC Evidencia, which is the veterinary care business in the UK, largest provider of veterinary care services in the world, and backed by EQT, which is a very, very established IPO seller. So I would say the performance of sort of the mid-cap deals that we've seen this year probably don't yet have that much read across to the far larger transactions that we expect to see in 2026.
And could you run through some of the challenges that companies looking to list in the UK are facing? Obviously, we don't have the Thanksgiving holiday coming up here, but we do have the budget round about the same time. I think it's a day apart. So I'm guessing people are waiting now to see what's in the budget, and then that's going to have a knock-on effect to what happens in December or January.
I think in general, the budget is going to be a big determiner of people's impression of the corporate health of and the business health of the UK, or UK PLC, as we like to say here in London. The problem, I think, with the budget and the problem that we've had really in the last few months has been, on one hand, you have the Labour government now very, very committed to capital markets growth, to the City of London being an engine of UK growth. And they have spoken some very good, you know, words on that. The messaging has been very strong and have done things. They've backed the FCA's listing reforms. They have been publicly and privately very supportive of the London Stock Exchange and its, you know, desire to make itself a more competitive listing venue. There hasn't been pushback from that. That is the you know, constant debate over pension reform as well to get more investment in UK markets. So on that front, you think the government's doing a really good job, or at least is talking the talk. On the other hand, then, unfortunately, when it comes to the budget, you have various balloons being floated pre-announcement, pre-budget, often which seem pretty harmful for UK business. I mean, last time you had obviously the employers' rise of NI, which was pretty difficult for UK small businesses to consume, and we have seen it certainly in earnings, people being very negative on that. And, you know, things like we've seen with the changes to to salary sacrifice pensions, which again would be pretty harmful for business. So I think, and obviously the weeks of debate over wealth tax, which was again pretty negative for UK PLC. So I think you really do have to have a more coherent message on the agenda of what the government wants to achieve. And it does feel a little bit sometimes that the government is contradictory at best, at worst, capricious. So I think there is a certain job to do for Labour to solidify itself in the confidence of you know, British business.
And it's certainly something we'll be keeping an eye on over the coming weeks, and certainly on Budget Day in just under 2 weeks' time now. One topic, and it's a big one, that will affect certainly the US, but also the UK and other equity capital markets around the world, is this AI bubble that I'm hearing more and more about. Can you give me your take? Are we in one, and does it matter?
I think it's hard to argue that we're not in one now. To the fact that most in the industry would agree that we are in one. I think the extent to what it matters is where the debate lies, and actually the extent to how much it's going to matter to equity markets. And that actually, for me, a little bit plays into, you know, the data points you brought up at the top of the call, Juliana, about the Dow versus the Nasdaq. You know, the Nasdaq has not been able to rally perhaps so much on the shutdown news, because there are still these overarching fears over the possibility of an AI bubble bursting soon. I think the problems are really sort of tenfold and plus. I mean, you have a huge amount of circular capital flow within that industry, with only very small pool of businesses spending these vast amounts of capital. It needs to be wider, it needs to be broader, as everyone has said. The expansion of data centers in order for, you know, publicly traded companies with an AI angle to meet those valuations is staggering. And I think a little bit in the way of the dot-com bubble, if you think about, you know, what happened there. And I wasn't reporting equity capital markets during the dot-com bubble, but certainly from people who were around at the time, and through a lot of the reading you can do on it, you know, there is only probably going to be a small pool of winners when it comes to AI. And once, you know, those winners start to come to the fore, the stock prices of everybody else, I think, will be hit hard. So I think there is a general acceptance and an agreement that AI is transformational technology that is going to change the way that we do business across the world. I mean, in what ways is still unclear, but it certainly is transformational technology and will be a invaluable tool for most business. However, that doesn't mean that companies are not being overvalued because of the potential of AI. And once that potential starts to dim, and once that AI expected growth starts to slow, a little bit like we said with companies, you know, post IPO, those first results being so important, once AI growth starts to diminish in corporate results, I think the pullback in equity markets could be quite dramatic. Certainly, when we've seen just small indicators of it, we've seen very big moves in the Nasdaq. and technology stocks as a whole. So if that's just a taste of what we could see, should we have a full bubble burst, then the effect on equity markets and unfortunately equity capital markets could be pretty severe.
Okay, well, we will be hopefully looking to the future and finding something really positive to focus on, because it's very mixed. It's very
mixed. Sorry to end on a negative note there.
Okay, good to talk to you as always, Sam. Thanks very much. That was Sam Kerr, who's the global head of ECM and head of merger markets, EMEA. And just to point out, we're recording this on Thursday, the 13th of November. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed listening, please follow the podcast. And if you're on an app that supports it, please give us a rating and review. To find out more, have a look at our show notes for this week. Join us again next week.